Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. I'm Jim Galante, and back in the studio is Andrew P. Shea. Andy, before we get started, let's announce our winner. It is Mark from Murraysville. Mark asked us about who would we, or specifically Ross, like to see scheduled in Penn State in home and away contests, and that got two old Penn State fans off on a tangent talking about some of the old-time games and memories, specifically playing Notre Dame years ago. So, Mark, we'll be getting in touch with you. You win the KSN polo shirt. All right, Andy, quarter number four, here's our topic. We've been going through spring football, getting little nuggets of news along the way, which, of course, causes us to overreact, okay? That's what we do. We're football fans. We overreact. So, yes. And I want to see, is the overreaction valid? I'm going to give you the topic, and you let me know if we're overreacting or not, all right? Okay. Let's start with Kalen King, the freshman out of Michigan, an early entry. Seems like all spring the coaches were talking about his abilities, his ball awareness, his maturity. Then he comes to the spring scrimmage, the first one, intercepts two passes, and most recently I heard he is capable of leaping tall buildings also. Are we overreacting with Kalen King?
Yeah, slow down a little bit here. Lighten up, Francis. All right, let me just say my counter to that is, A, it's spring ball. B, it's the deepest position on the Penn State roster, including running back, in terms of, you know, time, probably even talent, and, you know, overall, you know, depth A to Z through the position. It's Tariq Castro Fields. It's Joey Porter Jr. It's Keaton Ellis. It's Marquise Wilson. That is a lot of depth chart to climb. And hey, if you are a true freshman and you're that good, and remember, this is spring ball. This is practice. Yes, we're talking about practice, but it matters. And it's good that it's back, but it's still practice. That is a large mountain to climb. Then if you can climb that and find your way onto the field in 2021, then you truly are something special. But there's still one piece of it. This is a, I'm not saying this is not something that is good for Penn State. This is something that's really good for Penn State. You're already deep in a position. You bring a guy in, and he's already like shaking up, you know, he's already shaking up the Yahtzee dice, right? He's already making it crazy. Like, what about, is Kalen King going to replace, you know, Joey Porter Jr.'s? Joey Porter Jr.'s job out. What about Tariq? Tariq hasn't played that much. He's been injured. Is Tariq not going to play? Is Kalen King our starting cornerback? That's not a bad thing, but there's still one element he's got to clear. He's got to clear fall practice and those four guys to find his way onto the field. You do that, then you can be excited. It doesn't matter to me what he does if he finds his way onto the field. Yeah, sure, it matters. But if he's done climbed that and found his way on the field, then you're going to get something special out of him.
And we all have to get past the fact that because he is a cornerback, no matter how good he is, he will get burned at some point. It
Correct.
Will happen. And let's hope
they all are going to get beat.
The overreaction doesn't happen then the other way. Oh, we were sold a bill of goods on Kalen King. I think just the fact that as a freshman, he's getting noticed so much. And I do think there is some connection to Marquise Wilson switching positions to the fact that Kalen King has just added to the depth at cornerback. So they felt comfortable doing that. So
would I be surprised if he's on the field in 2021? No.
And let's face it, there is precedent for them playing young people, including true freshmen at cornerback. Remember Keaton Ellis hitting the field as a true freshman? So it can happen. All right, Andrew P., let's go to another topic that I'm sure there's overreaction to, and that is, guess what? They lined up the quarterback under center. Is it a new day in Penn State football? We've got a quarterback under center.
And the second part of that is you want an identifiable fullback so you can run fullback power, right?
Exactly.
Is that the next step? Is that what you guys are looking for?
Not me, Andy, but I'm just saying, no. There's been a lot of reaction to this quarterback under center. And candidly, I don't know what the excitement is, because if you recall last year, and again, they did it with Will Levis, the theory always is under center on third and one. They did pretty well with Will Levis coming in as that short yardage guy. It seemed to me they got the first down most of the time last year doing it that way from the shotgun. I guess me personally, I don't think it's a big deal.
So I do think it's a big deal, and I'm not overreacting on the fact that they went under center to a degree, which I kind of like. It's how are they going to mix and match, and when are they going to go under center? Is it going to be under center in the Will Levis statue, he is going to run the ball on third down type scenario? Or and is it only going to be a short yardage and distance situations? Or are they going to do a little more mixing and matching on all three downs of under center and in the shotgun? That's a valid question, right? Like, if you go under center on first down, does that mean you're going to run the ball? Do you mix and match it a little bit, right? Do you run seven straight shotgun snaps, then you run a couple under center, no matter what the down and distance is? You know what I mean? Like, is under center strictly situational football, or is under center simply part of what they do to mix and match Yursich's offense, right? That's going to be, in my eyes, the $64,000 question. And another part of it is, we already mentioned this earlier, you got a couple of running backs named Noah Kane and Kevon Lee who – okay, so we'll know. Under James Franklin, third and short's been an absolute mess, right? It's been pretty much a hot mess. Even with the likes of Trace Sorley and Saquon Barkley, it was still like, how are they not any better at this? If you want to go back and say they weren't. But you've got two running backs who fall forward, are pretty powerful inside the tackles, as we have known and seen, and tend to get where they are going inside the tackles with some authority. Let's give them a little bit of a head start. Why not? Let them get pulling at the line of scrimmage instead of line of scrimmage coming to them.
I think that's perhaps the biggest point to it, Andy, is do you have the running back in already moving forward when you have the quarterback under center, and make it easier for the running back in short yardage situation? That will be interesting to see. Here's another one. Let's talk about, is this an overreaction or not? We all know Sean Clifford struggled last season. That's, I think, obvious to anyone who was watching the games. And so a lot of us hoped, okay, new offensive coordinator, will shake those things up. We'll actually have a spring practice. Well, then, talking about the first scrimmage, Sean Clifford, I guess, struggled a bit also when the coaches were asked about him. The best way I could frame it is it seemed as if they were damning him with faint praise. You heard all the intangibles, things like he works hard and he has a good approach and he prepares well. You're not hearing, boy, is he delivering on the offense. His accuracy and his deep ball is great. His reads are great. Are we overreacting in a negative way when we hear about how he performed in that scrimmage? Or should we take a step back and say, hey, wait a minute, he's only had 10 to 12 practices at that point. Let's give him some time.
Yeah, this one I'm stuck in the middle on, because, yeah, he struggled in 2020. He also lost his job, right?
Yes, he did.
He lost his job. So he didn't earn the job back. It kind of was handed back to him because of, you know, the performance of who he lost his job to a degree. So, you know, I don't think he had a quote unquote bad scrimmage by the accounts that I've heard, but it also wasn't a good scrimmage, right? Confidence is it's very easy to lose. I think confidence is a big part of this. It's very easy to lose, and it's very, very difficult to reobtain. We can all agree that in his first year as a starter, if nothing else, Sean Clifford was a confident quarterback, right?
Yep.
And the drops didn't faze him. The guy, you know, he was a confident quarterback A to Z. And I think once he's lost his confidence, he still hasn't necessarily found it. So, yeah, 10 to 12 practices is a gauge, but it's also not a great gauge. He's got a lot of work to do over this summer mentally, I think, more than physically, to get himself reestablished as a confident quarterback. And am I concerned? Yeah, absolutely. And I think Penn State fans should be. But to hear the sort of what I call friend zone comments is also revealing and truthful by the coaching staff. In other words, they're not going to oversell him. They're not going to oversell him. And that is smart on their part.
I think that there's going to be a lot of pressure on him, and I think he places
tremendous.
A lot of that pressure himself. He expects himself more than he has shown, and you know, it's going to be between the ears. Will that confidence come back? I'm in agreement
exactly
with
what
with
I
you
said.
There.
It's not physical; it's mental for him. And can he reestablish and find that and be a quote-unquote confident quarterback? That's it.
Okay, one more quick one for you, Andy.
Sure.
And this is Mike Yurcich with that hurry-up offense is going to create all kinds of advantages for Penn State's offense. Are we overreacting to that?
Absolutely. I'm your ambassador of Quan. Scrimmages and spring ball practices don't mean anything to me. You're the third offensive coordinator in as many years, so it's the third system for all the guys that were in it. The new guys are learning a new system, right? So everything's new to everybody. And what does it look like when it counts? The indications are that he's got some of the right tools. Some of the things are starting to click. The guys like it, et cetera, et cetera. Good. I need to see it on Saturday. I honestly do. And I need to see what it looks like before I begin to even think about saying whether or not this is a success.
There is no doubt we need to see it on the field, but I am a believer in the hurry-up offense concept. I think it creates a lot of advantages for the offense over the defense, and hopefully it creates a situation where it's the defense that's not prepared, not the offense. Andy, that is it for the show. Thank you all for listening, and be sure to join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.